Hello, wrestling fans, and welcome to the announcer's booth with the best damn announce team, period. I'm Greg Hunter, and here's your host, John the Body Johnson.
That's right, everyone. It's me, John the Body Johnson, JJ here, along with
Greg Hunter.
And Greg, you know, it's been an interesting couple weeks. We actually took last week off for Labor Day because that's the American spirit. That's what America would want you to do. Is if it's a day off and it's a federally mandated day off, by God, you're going to take a day off. And what did we do? We took a whole week off from the show.
Well, yeah, pretty much. Lots of stuff, you know, going on last week, and we record on Mondays. Labor Day was on a Monday, so. Yeah. Recording didn't happen.
And so. I was going to record, but there was a lot of things going on. Been a very, very busy time in the JJ household over the last couple weeks. A lot of interesting and new things going on in the life, especially for my wife. I won't get into a lot of it until I'm ready to, but and we're not pregnant, so I'll go ahead and say that, but... it has been kind of a very interesting time, a very exciting time. I haven't seen my wife this excited since our wedding and since the birth of our daughter. I'll just go ahead and say that much. But
oh, wow.
It's been really, really cool, man. And, of course, you know, another thing that has transpired here in the last week.
Yeah, you got a voicemail from Ric Flair, didn't you?
I got a voicemail from the Nature Boy that we're going to play here next week.
Oh.
I've got to authenticate that, but... yeah, so I mean, I'm interested to hear this voice. You know,
it was Ric Flair, right?
It said the Nature Boy, and
well, I know it couldn't have been Buddy Landell.
No,
couldn't have been Buddy Rogers.
No,
I think Roger Kirby's dead.
I think so too.
Scoot Andrews?
No, I don't think it was Scoot.
J.J. Dillon. They called him the Nature Boy for a little while.
I'm J.J.
No, J.J. Dillon.
Oh yeah, that J.J. No, the other J.J. No, I don't think it was him.
Regal. Steve Regal in England. They called him the Nature Boy for a while before he was William Regal.
How do you woo in a British accent?
Woo. I don't know.
That was horrible.
Yeah, well.
That sounded like a dying inverted cow. But I'll get more into that.
Adrian Street.
Dude, if Adrian Street would have called me, do you think we'd be having this podcast right now? He'd be our co-host this week. I would have jumped to have Adrian Street here, but no.
Terry Diamond? He wanted to be the Nature Boy.
He did want to be the Nature Boy, Terry freaking Diamond.
Yeah, we 86'd that.
Yeah, yep. But I got the voicemail from the Nature Boy. I'm authenticating to find out, you know, who, you know, the Nature Boy is. Speaking of the Nature Boy.
Okay.
What a weekend it was for wrestling.
Okay, well, yeah, it was a pretty big weekend. If you are a fan of the WWE, apparently Backlash was not terrible. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it wasn't. I saw it, but that's not what I was talking about. I will get to that in just a second.
Okay.
I'm talking about the Facebook Live video that has everybody talking. Well, three people talking, but...
The 24-hour live stream that Rage Quit Radio did over the weekend.
Was that on Facebook Live, or was that just a 24-hour?
No, it was on Facebook Live.
Well, you see, I saw
for
it
24
bit,
hours.
For 24 hours,
well,
yeah, I've heard...
To be, in full disclosure, for 20 hours, but...
What happened to the other four?
We got tired. So, and actually, a bunch of people bailed out on us throughout, and so it got down to where there were three of us, and we were running out of games to play, and two of the other guys were going to fall asleep. So,
yeah, you know,
I'll tell you about it. One was going to fall asleep, the other one was going to die of cat allergies. So...
Yeah, and you know, that's what I wanted to ask you, though. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about that, because here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Still a young guy.
Yeah.
Mid-30s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my late 30s. I'll be 40 in December.
Mm-hmm.
What time do you go to bed at night?
As a rule?
Have rules?
Well, I mean, generality.
Okay.
Usually between 10 and midnight.
You go to bed between 10 and midnight. What time do you get up, sir?
Between 4 and 6.
Between 4 and 6. Okay, so, I mean, that's pretty good timing. But, you know, I know that we were talking about recording this late at night one night.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you saying that. You didn't want to record late at night because it was past your bedtime.
Well, I'm usually physically in bed by 10 o'clock.
See,
that doesn't mean I've gone to sleep, but I'm usually physically in bed by 10 o'clock.
See, I don't know what's going on. What the hell happened? Have all my rowdy friends settled down?
Yes.
I mean, I haven't. You know, cornbread and iced tea have not taken the place of pills and 90 proof. Well, I don't take pills, but that's neither here nor there. But now I worry about that because, you know, I do think, you know, like, am I crazy? Because usually I'm not in bed until 1 o'clock.
I should pull back a little bit. If I'm working the next day,
okay,
then that's true. Now, on the weekends and such, no, I'm usually up much later. Usually on the
weekends. You guys didn't last 24 hours, though.
Well, now, for the record, I did, because I was up at 6 o'clock that morning and did not go to sleep until 9 a.m. the following day. So I was up for 27 hours.
Oh, okay.
And even then, I only slept for 2 and then got back up and didn't go back to sleep till damn near midnight. So, I took a nap, but...
Well, fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. So, but yeah, and I thought it was a really, really cool thing you did. But, you know, there's another video that's out there that I wanted to touch on, that I wanted to talk about.
Oh, what, where they leaked the delete versus decay thing?
No, not that.
Have you seen it yet?
No, I have not. I try to avoid that because that shit just really gives me a fucking headache. But no, I wanted to talk about this other video that's out there.
Okay.
There's this other video out there, and this is something that I want. I actually responded to this. There is a video surfacing out there that a certain member of the announcer's booth that's here on the air right now that's not talking has said he's going to go bald. I mean, he's already going bald. The hair's thinning and the hairline's receding, but...
Okay, so that. So, okay. The long and short is my wife and I are looking to adopt. So, in doing that, one of the things that we have... one of the things that we obviously are trying to do is raise money, and there's no shortage of funds needed when you're doing an adoption. So what we are currently doing is several different fundraisers. The average adoption runs close to $30,000. We're hoping that it's not going to cost quite that much on our end, but as far as our adoption is concerned. But in an effort to raise money, I've always said if I didn't learn anything else from the wrestling business, I learned these two things. Number one, gimmicks draw money. And number two, if you're going to get a haircut, get paid for it. I learned that from watching Chad Parham get bitched out.
And I learned one other thing, too. Huh. If you're going to die, do it in the ring.
Well, yeah. But I very much recall Chad Parham showing up at TV one day with a buzz cut and getting bitched out by Jeff Bailey. So what I decided to do, and JJ may put a link in the notes or whatnot, I don't know. If anyone wants to see Greg Hunter bald... I basically put a bounty on my own hair. If between September 1st and the end of the month, we wind up raising $1,000 on our GoFundMe adoption page, and it started at $165, so that means it has to be $1,165 by the end of the month. If that hits, then I will shave my head bald. I've also said that to sweeten the pot and encourage a little competition, whoever donates the most money, assuming that they're within a reasonable driving distance, will be the person that gets to shave my head bald. For the record, that means them reasonably drive to me. I'm not driving somewhere to get a haircut. So, and we will wind up taping it and posting it for the people to see. So,
play-by-play for that shit. Are you fucking kidding me? This will be the greatest moment. I have seen you with short hair.
Yeah.
When we first started hanging out, when you first came to the arena, you had shorter hair.
Yep.
Throughout the years, your hair has grown.
Yep.
Albeit thinning, you know, and receding a bit. I mean, I can't say anything. That's why I shaved my head.
I think you're jealous, but anyway.
Well, no, I am. But, you know, here's the thing. And I said that in my video myself. I'm fucking jealous. You know, because, I mean, but, you know, you are younger than me.
By a few years.
You know, but the thing is, I only started going bald for two reasons. Number one, I used to bleach my hair a lot. And number two, it's called my ex-wife. So that's the reason why I'm bald. Now, here's the thing.
It runs in my family on my mother's side.
But here's the thing, I think. I think, Hunter, I think what you've done is you finally took the advice that I gave you about a year and a half ago, and that is embrace your baldness. You're going bald. It's okay to be bald. You know, I mean, you got the head for it, I think. I don't know. It
has nothing to do with me embracing going bald. It has everything to do with trying to raise money for our adoption.
Well, I know it has. So. No. Here's the thing. Don't get me wrong. It's just like, you know, it's like one and one came together and made the perfect combination because here's the thing. You needed money for your adoption, which is a very, very expensive process and a very admirable process, you know, at that. But also, you needed to embrace your baldness. So, you know, I figured you wanted to get paid.
I would not be even considering this if I weren't getting paid.
You see, there you go.
So, no, it's not me embracing anything. It's me hoping that some people out there want to see me bald bad enough to pony up some bucks for it.
Now, just curious, where are you guys at right now?
Apparently, nobody wants to see me bald. We got one person who's willing to pay money for it not to happen. And I believe in just a little more now than a week in, we've gotten $25.
Okay.
So
we're $975 away.
Yeah.
Now, here's the way I look at it. We're recording this on the 12th. It'll probably go up the 13th or 14th, just depending on when you're listening to this. So let's say we have 15 more days in the month.
Okay.
Okay, and we need how much again, did I say? $975?
Yep.
So that's roughly 60 bucks a day, maybe? 70?
You have the accounting degree.
Yeah. That's somewhere between 60 and 70 bucks a day. Now, I know that there's 20 people who listen to this show. If you can donate $3 a day until the end of the year,
We'll take till the end of the year.
No, we'll take to the end of the month because that's when you're going to go bald. But if we can get you $3 a day to the end of the month, this man will be bald. And you know what? Right now, the fear has washed across his face. He is scared to death.
No, I'm not. If I wasn't willing to do it, I wouldn't have even mentioned it. I wouldn't have thrown it out there.
Dude, I know that to be true. Because you're a very honest man, and you're a very admirable man, but I also know that it just like me, when I said, hey, I'll go in the dunk tank. Hey, I'll go in the river. Yeah, I'll kiss a fucking horse. You know what? There's fear that washes across your face. And you're like, holy shit, this water's going to be really fucking cold. And that's when I'm talking about falling in the river in Helen.
The difference between me doing this and you falling in the river in Helen is the day I will get my head shaved, should we raise the money, I'm not going to try and back out of it.
Yeah, I didn't try to back out of the whole river
thing.
Yes,
you did. Yes, you did.
That's revisionist history.
No, it's not. You came up to me wearing your Rocky sweatshirt, which was incredibly professional for a video shoot. You showed up in your Rocky hoodie and were like, it wasn't the Rocky hoodie, I think, that time.
No. The Rocky hoodie was, I got that for Christmas.
That's for Seasons Beatings. So it was the other, whatever you were wearing for the other one.
I wore a green shirt.
Green shirt? Okay. So you showed up and you were like, Hunter, it's going to be fucking cold. I can't do this. It's going to be fucking cold. And I said, you've been hyping this up for a month. You're going to do it.
I don't remember this ever taking place.
Fucking cold.
In fact, I will tell you guys a story while we're doing this, and we'll get back to the pay-per-view here. This will probably just be us bantering for a little while, but hey, hold on a second. I remember coming to you, and Shadow Jackson actually became our cameraman for the day because Monkus was busy. Monkus was having to get the Remember When Theater ready for Fright Night. So Shadow followed us around. And I remember saying, hey, you know what would be really fucking cool? What if we come back to this bridge and videotape me falling off the bridge into the river, at which you put the kibosh on?
I recall, no, you said fall off the bridge, and I said no. I did say no, you shouldn't fall off the bridge because you would have died. So, and we didn't need that on camera. So I was like, no, you're not going to fall off the bridge. And we found a spot. And you said, I'm gonna fall off here. You're like, okay, fine. And then it gets progressively colder as it's fucking September. End of October, early November. It's during Oktoberfest. I don't remember the exact date. But regardless,
November 4th.
The fuck ever. Very cold. And you're like, Hunter, it's fucking cold. I don't think I need to do this. Dude, you've been hyping this shit up. Hunter, I don't think I need this. You've already sold me on it. You're gonna fucking do it. Hunter, it's fucking cold. This is gonna suck. I don't think I should do this. That's what happened at the end of the day. The beginning of the day, you were trying to hype me up on and go, dude, I should do this, I should fall off the bridge. And when I was ixnayed falling off the bridge, then you're like, well, what if we did it here? It'd be safer, JJ, but I still don't think, no, we do, okay, fine, we'll do it here. And then as the day went on and it started getting colder, you're like, Hunter, it's getting fucking cold. And you reached down, I remember this, right before we did it, you reached down and put your hand in the water and you were like, Hunter, I don't want to do this. No, Hunter.
I think that's a little bit of revisionist history because I remember being hyped about this. Because here's the thing.
You were hyped until it got cold as hell and you put your hand in the water.
Well, it wasn't that cold. That's the funny thing. It wasn't that cold that day because if you go back and watch the video, which we have this on video, I'm having to continuously roll up my sleeves because we're burning up.
Yes, but you got to the river, Hunter, the river's cold as fuck.
But I think it's a little bit of revisionist history. But you know what? Hey, it's your story. You can stick to it. My story is I wanted to do this from the very beginning. It was my idea.
Yes, it was. It was your idea, which is why I didn't let you back out of it.
Which was completely my idea, and I knew I had to do it. And you know what? I will say this, and there's a lot of people that may disagree with this, but I will go ahead and say the 10 years that Anarchy was around, me falling into that river is definitely one of the top 10 iconic video moments in Anarchy. Now, I mean, it's not like a winning moment, but as far as like that moment that people remember on video, because I still have people say
that
shit.
It was actually part of the video open for the home videos stuff from that point forward. It was in every open.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll give you that.
But yeah, it was a fun time, too. I mean, and the thing is, I make a lot of jokes, but I mean, it was a great time, but...
So speaking of Anarchy,
yeah,
and that's Helen, you know, the first show we were in Helen, Georgia was Fright Night, and we worked with Abyss. The second one, we worked with the WWE Heavyweight Champion of the World.
Yes, AJ Styles.
I never thought I would ever say that.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, and I think one of the things that was lost, and, you know, I didn't really get a chance to listen to a lot of Ronaldo's commentary, following up on that thing, because once again, have a lot going on at my house. My daughter was really hyped up last night. So, I mean, a lot going on, but there was actually a historical moment for another reason as well. It is the first time in 24 years that a man that is a former NWA world champion won the WWE world heavyweight champion and makes him only the third man in history to become both the NWA and WWF/WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
To put this in perspective, I mean, honest to God, historical perspective of what AJ Styles did last night. First things first, I can think of no man in the sport of professional wrestling that deserves it more than AJ Styles. They have pushed him to the moon in 8 months. I mean, stop and think about that. 8 months. He debuted at the end of January.
Yeah.
In 8 months, he's the world champion. They have protected him. They have pushed him. They haven't done the 50-50 bullshit with him. They haven't done the you win some, you lose some. He went over in his program with Jericho. He went over in his program with Cena. And now he's the world heavyweight champion. So think about the only thing they didn't do was have him win the Rumble. So, but even there, he had a hell of a showing. Yeah. So,
well, think about this also, too, real quick, before you get to that point. Said 8 months. 8 months to get to this spot, right? The last person that they pushed that quickly was actually Hogan. Because even Austin was around for a couple years before he won the title.
I could have sworn the last person that got that push was Brock.
Did Brock get the heavyweight title in 8 months, though? He was around for about a year, right?
He got it his rookie year. I don't know if he was around for a year before he got it.
Brock, I forgot about Brock getting it that quick. But, I mean, if you think about that, he's in high cotton, so to speak.
But here, think about this for a minute. Okay. AJ Styles is now the WWE Heavyweight Champion of the World.
Yep.
He is only the third man in history to be both, to be a former NWA champion that captured the WWE title. The only other two people to do that are Ric Flair and Buddy Rogers. He is, if my memory serves me correctly, he is only the third, doing some thinking in my head, I think, if I'm not mistaken, no, he is the fourth former Ring of Honor world champion to win the WWE title. The other three being CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, and Seth Rollins.
Right.
So, there's that. He is the He is only the second man to have ever been TNA world champion, then capture the WWE title. The other one being Christian Cage. And Kurt Angle, I think, is the only other person to have been TNA and WWE champion.
Now, wait a minute. Now, Christian was never WWE champion.
He was the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. He had the big gold belt.
Right, he had the big, but he wasn't the WWE champion. Now, this is what I'm talking about.
It's part of the same, but at this point, those lineages might as well be merged. Because it's the WWE World title that AJ Styles holds is the culmination of both the World Heavyweight and WWE belts.
Right.
So I count both. So, and Kurt Angle's the only other person to be, I think, to have been TNA and WWE champion.
Well, wasn't Christian Cage NWA world champion then?
Yes, Christian Cage was the NWA World Champion, so that makes AJ number four.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't count the lineage of the WWE World Heavy, the Big Gold. The Big Gold was two separate belts.
No, but I think you have to, because it's part of the lineage of the belt AJ now holds.
Okay.
So that makes AJ number four. Okay. Then you've got AJ's the former IWGP World Champion, although they don't call it a world title, it's just the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. He's the former IWGP Heavyweight Champion, and I'm thinking the only other person to have been IWGP Heavyweight Champion to hold the WWE title is Brock Lesnar.
Wow.
So, and for the record, WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, NWA, and IWGP, only one man has held all five.
That'd be
AJ.
And
that's AJ Styles.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the thing is, and
this would be the equivalent. This is the modern equivalent of someone having been the NWA, WWF, AWA, WCW, and probably for the time frame, All Japan Triple Crown Champion.
Right.
I mean, it's never happened before, and I frankly don't know that anyone would ever pull it off again.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really incredible feat to think of someone who came from that small little building that you and I used to work in there in Cornelia, Georgia, the Church of Southern Wrestling, the Anarchy Arena, the NWA Arena.
The Paul C. Parker Arena.
Yeah, well, whatever it's called this week, you know, I mean, it's such a historic place. But, you know, one of the other cool moments, too, and I brought this up to you when we showed up for work this morning, Anarchy is representing huge in the WWE right now. Not only, and I should say, not just Anarchy, because AJ did come in and do a few spots for Anarchy, but let's just go ahead and say
he was a wild side guy.
Yeah, he was a wild side guy, but let's go ahead and say the arena is representing huge in WWE right now, because AJ Styles is the WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Mm-hmm.
Heath Slater and Rhino are the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Champions.
What I'm about to say is not a disparaging comment. I have to preface this by saying it's not a disparaging comment, because there's a guy out there by the name of Reichton who I have a great deal of love for. I believe he's still up in Portland, Oregon. And he worked for me briefly. We groomed him. You managed him.
Yes.
We were grooming him in Mid-Atlantic Extreme Wrestling. And the match where we kind of solidified him as a legitimate threat in the company was at our big show, which was called Hardcore War. In the opening contest, he won his match by referee stoppage. The finish was his opponent was doing the 10 count punches in the corner. He stepped out and dropped the guy, and the guy took a face bump on the actual turnbuckle, not the pad, but the actual bolt that connects the turnbuckle pad to the ring post. He took a bump on the post and sold that he was knocked out, and we did a referee stoppage because the guy could no longer continue. That guy was the Thriller Heath Miller, who, for the record, is now one half of the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Champions, Heath Slater. I love Reichton to death, but every time I see something like that, the thought that goes through my head was, you dumb fuck, you backed the wrong horse.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and the thing is, we both liked Heath really, really well.
Yes.
And, I mean, I thought that he was going to have a big shot in Anarchy, you know, and then all of a sudden the opportunity came for him to go down to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on fire ever since. And I mean, so, you know, big ups to Heath there, man, and doing a great, great job. I love the gimmick they have him in now. I think, you know, and honestly, because we've talked to him, we know his accent.
Mm-hmm.
What they have him doing right now with Beulah and the seven kids and the single wide, and now that he's champion, he's going to buy a double wide. I mean, it fits him perfectly, and it's great, you know. And then, of course, over on the Raw side of things, you know, we have the former Austin Creed, Xavier Woods.
Well, and if you watch Up, Up, Down, Down on YouTube, he's still Austin Creed.
Yeah.
Because he still uses that name there.
Right.
But, yeah.
But, yeah, he's, you know, so, I mean, it's really cool to see these guys that, you know, we got to see in their early developmental days. Not AJ, of course. AJ, I think the earliest I ever worked with AJ may have been 2002, when he was already pretty much established as the next megastar in this business. And, I mean, there's no other word to describe him. I mean, he is phenomenal, but he is a megastar in this business. I mean, it's very few people have the recognition that he has and can go and do the things that he does. I mean, you know, you think about this. They haven't made him change one single thing that he's done signing with the WWE. There's very few people that get afforded that luxury.
You know, here's the thing that I would say, and this is what makes AJ Styles the pardon me stealing someone's catchphrase. This is what makes AJ Styles the best in the world at what he does. And that is, every time you think you've seen his best, you haven't.
Right.
When I saw AJ Styles live for the first time, I called a match. It was AJ Styles versus Jeremy Vane at the Remember When Theater. And I thought, and this speaks to AJ, I figured, here's the former NWA World Heavyweight Champion, because at the time TNA was still part of the NWA. Here's the former NWA Heavyweight Champion of the World, the standard bearer babyface of TNA, which at that point in time was legitimately a national power as far as television was concerned. They I don't think they were really touring, but here's AJ. He's a national star. He's working on what for him is effectively a spot show in front of a few hundred people. It was the biggest crowd we ever had up to that point.
Right.
It was 700 plus. But for AJ, this would be a spot show crowd.
Right.
And I figured he would dial it back and we would see, you know, it would be a good AJ Styles match, but we weren't going to, we saw a damn pay-per-view match out of AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Against Jeremy Vane, because it might be a spot show to AJ's standards, but he knows that for our standards, this was the big show. This was a pay-per-view. And he goes out and delivers that kind of match.
Well, and I've seen that same, you know, drive and that same thing from him back in 2003. I was working a show called Spring Stampede in Rome, Georgia, at Dillard's Music Park. As you hear the trucks go by, we are outside on our lunch break again. But it was at Dillard's Music Park in Rome, Georgia, saw AJ Styles defend the NWA World Heavyweight Championship against Ray Gordy, the son of the late, great Terry Gordy. And you want to talk about a match.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about something that just left both men so much more credible than you could have ever imagined them being. AJ comes in as the NWA World Heavyweight Champion on a card that also included Jerry the King Lawler.
Mm-hmm.
And had this just great match with Ray Gordy. And the two just went at it, tooth and nail, for, you know, and it was just, it was pretty awesome. But, you know, I want to get into something that you just mentioned,
because
mm-hmm. I know we're running out of time here. Talking about the best in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Did you happen to see UFC 203 this weekend?
I heard Punk lost.
Punk lost in 2 minutes and 14 seconds. Now, here's the thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. I know that there's people out here that are going to expect me to shit all over this. And I know you're probably waiting for the other shoe to drop.
No, I'm not waiting for the
fucking punchline or whatever, so to speak. Here's the thing. CM Punk should be respected and admired
mm-hmm.
amongst his peers and amongst people who, even if you don't have a fucking clue.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, CM Punk went to work for the biggest wrestling company in the world. And he said, this is what I want. This is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
He did not allow them to take his name. He did not allow them to take any of his shit. He kept it himself because he said no. When he was ready to leave, he left on his fucking terms. CM Punk said, you know, I'm leaving wrestling. CM Punk went into the world of UFC. He trained for 2 years, did not have a single fight. Debuts in his fight. Loses in 2 minutes and 14 seconds. If there's anybody listening to this that wants to shit all over CM Punk and talk about he should have done this, he should have done that, I ask you, have you ever stepped outside your comfort zone? Have you ever sat back and did something that wasn't your norm? Something that you're in a world where you don't fucking belong, or people say you don't belong? Here's the thing. CM Punk did the job. CM Punk went out. He got his ass beat. But you know what CM Punk did at the end? CM Punk stood up. He said, yes, I lost the fight here tonight, but I want to do this again. This is the most fun I've ever had, with the exception of marrying AJ Lee. But he said this was the most fun he ever had. But he took his ass whooping like a man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's some people who are shitting all over CM Punk for not shaking Mickey Gall's hand. Here's the thing. CM Punk, as much as he was in that moment being a UFC fighter, he's still a showman.
Mm-hmm.
He still knows that you have to have that little bit of that it factor. You have to have that little bit of that chatter, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You have to create a moment that people are going to go, oh, shit, Punk didn't even shake his fucking hand. You know, he disrespected him at the weigh-in. Holy shit, oh my God, now what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. And, you know, but he was a man about it. And that was mm-hmm. the cool thing, man. And I read something on Facebook this morning. And, you know me, I usually don't give my 2 cents worth on anything like that. But, I probably do, but anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Graham, superstar Billy Graham, not the Reverend Billy Graham, because I don't think Billy Graham goes on Facebook. But the superstar Billy Graham, former WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Had a post up where he talked about, like, earlier in the week, he talked about how great it was that CM Punk was going to go fight in the UFC and that, you know, he did this and he did that. And then he puts this post up on Sunday where he talks about CM Punk is a punk, CM Punk is a piece of shit, CM Punk is this and CM Punk is that. Is Billy Graham not one of the most bitter old fucks you've ever heard of next to Ole Anderson?
You know, here's the thing. I imagine that there's probably a lot of old-timers that feel that way about Punk right now out there. And I don't think it's them necessarily being bitter. I think it's them thinking Punk let the business down. And that's because back in the day, and this is a documented fact, back in the day, which would have been around Billy Graham's era, the 70s and 80s, if you were a wrestler and you got in a fight and you lost, you weren't a wrestler anymore.
Right.
Because that means you're not protecting the business. You're supposed to be the toughest guy in the room and so on and so forth. Well, that day's come and gone. CM Punk went in to a legitimate contest with no legitimate experience. None. And, yeah, he lost in 2 minutes. Well, that's a minute 50 more than most people would have lasted.
Yeah. Look, back in the day, I entered a tough man contest long, long time ago. Now, I will go ahead and I'll iggy you guys in on this. It was supposed to be a work. What happened was I was working for Hardbody. Me and Rowdy, God rest his soul, and this guy named Marino, who was a really, really good referee. We used to work shows down in Atlanta, but then on Wednesdays, we would go and do the tough man contest with Hardbody because Hardbody ran this tough man contest out of Club Nikki in Atlanta. Now, the tough man contest was a legit thing. It wasn't a work. It was a shoot. But there was one night, and I want to say it was around a holiday or it was around something was going on. There weren't a lot of people at the club, and this was a strip club on a Wednesday night. So, you know, some nights it was packed, sometimes, and not so much. But this was one of those nights.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody was entering in to the tough man contest. And the club manager, who later would get arrested for some kind of extortion bullshit or some kind of, you know, fucking, like, what is it called? Embezzlement.
Mm-hmm.
Scam or some bullshit. Was getting scared. So he goes to Hardbody and says, we need somebody to enter in this tough man contest. We have nobody signed up. And it would cost money to sign up for the tough man contest, whatever. But Hardbody comes to me, Rowdy, and Marino. And I can't remember who else was there, but the other person refused. But me, Rowdy, and Marino got together. And basically, first prize was like $1,000. Second prize was $1,600 bucks. Or $600, I'm sorry. So it was a total of $1,600. We were going to split this three ways.
Mm-hmm.
But whoever won would get more. Mm-hmm. But we were going to work it because if you won that tough man, you go into the big fucking contest.
Mm-hmm.
So we go out, and me and Marino are first. And I told Marino, I said, dude, I said, I'll let you win. I was like, because number one, I was like, I'm probably not going to last the whole three-minute round anyway. I said, but number two, I was like, dude, I was like, we're in your neighborhood. I was like, if this white boy comes in here and knocks you out, I'm not going to leave this club alive. You know that as well as I do. I said, I'm from Atlanta. I said, I'm not stupid. And he's like, yeah, man, you know. So basically, I was going to put Marino over, and then Marino was going to face Rowdy, and that was going to be the finals. We'd already had it drawn up. As I'm walking out to the ring for my fight, this big, tall motherfucker signs up. Jacked to the fucking gills. I'm talking about the guy was every bit of 6'6", 315 pounds, and not an ounce of fat on his fucking body. The dude had arms the size of my fucking body, right? The guy could do bench presses with a semi-truck.
Okay.
So I go in, and now I'm paranoid that Marino is going to try to take the dive on me. So I'm doing my best not to throw a single punch at Marino. And he's throwing punches at me, but they're like little, you know, like little taps. And I get in close to him, you know, and I back him up to the ropes. And I was like, look, man, anytime you want to hit me, you know, I'll take the dive. And he's like, no, man, we'll go to the second round. I was like, all right, good. Mm-hmm. So we go to the second round. Only this time, I'm really fucking paranoid because we know this dude's going to beat Rowdy's ass. So I'm getting really fucking paranoid. So what do I do? I'm smart. I go back to sit in my corner and I think sick. I run out of the fucking ring, throw the fucking towel down, run outside the ring and puke my brains out. Made myself puke. I was like Darren Drozdoff for the day. And I was like, and Marino wins by forfeit. And then Rowdy goes in and we're telling Rowdy, man, the first time he hit you, just fall. Right. Rowdy had too much fucking pride. Rowdy actually went, like, I think to the second round with this dude, where he finally said, fuck it, I'm done. And then Marino was like, dude, look, if you lose right now, we'll each get $200. I was like, you can just take the fucking loss. And I really think that's what happened. I think Marino went in and, like, dude threw one punch that I don't even think fucking connected. Marino took the bump like a champ. And we all walked out with $200 apiece. So, I mean, hey. Plus, now here's the thing. Even though Hardbody is a fucking scumbag, for being, you know, a human trafficker and, you know, getting, like, women out of jail to, you know, sell as sex slaves and shit like that. He's a fucking scumbag and he's doing life in prison. And if they give them a way to listen to, you know, fucking podcast in prison, more power to you. Hey, Hardbody, how you doing? Go fuck yourself. But the one thing I will say about Hardbody is he did pay you. If he said he was going to pay you, he paid you. And we used to get paid, like, I know I used to get, like, 50, I believe, for the Nikki shows. Mm. So not only did I get my $200 job money for doing the job, I also got paid from Hardbody for being there. So it was a nice little payday. It was a nice little night in the business. But, yeah, I mean, and the thing is, I say that to say this. I know I couldn't go in there and last 10 seconds in a fucking UFC fight.
Right.
You know, so, and I mean, the thing is, did I expect more out of Punk? Hell yeah, I expected more out of Punk. Here's what I expected. I expected to go the full three rounds. And I expected Punk to take an ass whipping.
And lose on decision?
And lose on decision or maybe squeak one out. Mm. You know, I expected something. I expected something more than what they did. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Here's the thing. Hats off to him, man. He has nothing to be ashamed of. You know, and anybody who's anybody will tell you that man had absolutely nothing to be ashamed of.
No. No, not at all. Let me ask you a question. And I think this will perhaps foreshadow maybe a discussion next week.
Okay.
So, we both, me more so, I'm a belt mark, freely admit, but we put a lot of stock in the title.
Yeah.
Okay. So, with the debut of the new women's and tag belts on SmackDown, they have renamed the women's and tag belts on Raw.
Right.
So now, you are either the Raw Tag Team Champions or you're the SmackDown Tag Team Champions. You're either the Raw Women's Champion or you're the SmackDown Women's Champion. Oh, fuck's the point. You're the champion of 2 or 3 hours of television.
Well, it's more than just 2 or 3 hours of television, though. You got to remember, you got to look at it from their point. I mean, this, and I'll get into this and I'll discuss it more because I like where you're going with this.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. It's a brand.
Yeah.
It's the brand. Here's the thing. You are the tag team champion of the Raw brand, which means outside of that 2 or 3 hours of outside of that 3 hours of television of Raw, Raw house shows, Raw pay-per-views, when they do the fucking joint pay-per-views like WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, and SummerSlam, you're going to be the fucking tag team champion that represents your brand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing. Is there a fucking point? Probably not, because here's the thing. You're still representing your brand. I mean, it's no different than if you're the employee of the month at Wendy's. You're the employee of the month at the Wendy's at the corner of fucking Jack Me Off and, you know, Hierarchy Street, whatever the fuck, right?
Yeah.
But there's also a Wendy's down here on the corner of Know Your Role Boulevard and Jabroni Drive that has an employee of the month. So it's you're the representative of your brand.
Because here's what I don't... Aside from one thing we'll talk about next... I want to talk about next week, perhaps, is the belts themselves, because they've caught a lot of shit. and I think deservedly so, because and I'm considering putting a video up on the ECS network regarding this, and JJ and I can have a discussion here on the podcast, but I think I can generously say that they are creatively challenged when it comes to their current title belt designs. But I understand you have an Intercontinental Champion who is presumably the champion of the Americas. That's what that belt is supposed to be. The story behind the founding of the, or the creation of the Intercontinental title, was that the North American Heavyweight Champion, Pat Patterson, went to Rio de Janeiro and won a tournament for the South American title. And it unifies the belts, creates the Intercontinental title. Okay.
It was a steamy night in Rio de Janeiro. Yes,
wrestling tournament capital of the world.
Yes.
I believe that's also where we crowned the Southeastern State Super Middleweight Champion.
Nice.
Back in the day. But, the United States heavyweight title is sort of self-explanatory. The WWE Universal title, using the logic that the WWE currently employs, means that you are the champion of the WWE Universe. Basically, you're the WWE champion. If you're the world heavyweight champion, then you're just that. You're the heavyweight champion of the world. So your women's champion is the champion of a brand, which, let's face facts, means she's the champion of 3 hours of television and several pay-per-views a year. SmackDown's women's champion is the champion of 2 hours of television and several pay-per-views a year. Same thing for the tag champions. What's the point of having a brand champion when you don't have a champion for the company?
And that's one of the things that I will agree with you on. I'll concede that, because here's the thing.
By definition, it feels like it's a secondary title.
Right. Here's the way I look at it. And this is, and I think this is probably going to end up making more sense somewhere down the road. Like I said, I'm still sold on the fact that there's something bigger coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, maybe it's wishful thinking. Maybe it's just me holding out hope. Maybe it's, I don't know. But I think there's something bigger coming. And I think that there's something there that's going to happen that's going to tie everything together and make it make sense. Then again, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But I can dream. But, yeah, I mean, like, when they did the brand split, I was really hoping they would keep one champion, in one world heavyweight champion, and let them be between brands and make your Intercontinental and your U.S. titles your secondary titles that are the primary titles
of
for each
brand.
Yeah.
Right.
Which, I mean, and then even those could be interchangeable. If you do a joint pay-per-view, if somebody from Raw was to win the Intercontinental title, then the Intercontinental title, then that person moves over to fucking SmackDown.
What I wanted them to do, and we've documented this, it's out there, there's a video about it on the ECS network. I said that I felt you should have the one world heavyweight champion, and he goes between brands. Whether that is he has a program on each brand, whether that is he is on a brand for 2 or 3 months in residence, kind of like the champion back in the day would travel the territories, the NWA champion, where he would be in the he would be in world class for a week, and then he's going to be in Georgia for a week and a half, and then he'll go down to Florida for 3 days, and then he'll be here, and so on and so forth. So I wanted them to do that with the world heavyweight title. I felt that the Intercontinental title should be on Raw, because Raw is the definitive WWE telecast. The Intercontinental title is a WWE title forever and ever, amen. That should be on Raw. I thought the U.S. title should have been on SmackDown, because that's where they put Shane, and you have a link. Shane was the last owner of WCW, which is where the U.S. title lineage comes from. So you had the U.S. title on SmackDown. When they brought the U.S. title back, they brought it back on SmackDown. Stephanie's the one that brought it back. So that's the belt most identified with that brand. And then I would have had the women's title be exclusive to Raw and the tag titles exclusive to SmackDown. And not really worry. It's not that you wouldn't have tag team matches on Raw. It's just that you wouldn't have tag teams on Raw, necessarily.
Right.
It's not that you might not have a women's match on SmackDown. It's just that you don't have a women's division on SmackDown. And then do whatever else. Or if you wanted to have divisions on each, then they should have had the tag team, the women's, and the WWE title basically all be world titles and all jumping back and forth between brands. Even back in the day, when they did the brand split version 1.0, even then, the way they did it, Raw was the World Heavyweight title, the World Tag Team titles, and the Women's World title. SmackDown had the WWE title, the WWE tag titles, and eventually the WWE Divas title. And yes, they flipped them back and forth between brands all the damn time, but they had different nomenclature that made sense, that didn't trivialize the belt to the point that it's... I would argue that the... just by name value, okay, just if you just take it at name value, the TNA Knockouts title, based off of name value, means more than the WWE Raw or SmackDown women's titles, because if you're the TNA Knockouts champion, you are the women's champion of an entire company.
Right.
Whereas if you're the WWE Raw women's champion, you're the champion of one brand. And, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me. And it's not to say that TNA's belt means more than either WWE women's title, because, frankly, it doesn't. It doesn't have the exposure or what have you. But it genuinely makes no sense to me. I would have even preferred perhaps they call they put the women's title on SmackDown. I would have been cool if it had been the Intercontinental Women's Championship.
Yeah.
Or the Intercontinental Tag Team titles.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. But, you know, we'll get more into that next week. We're going to go ahead and start wrapping things up here. You can find me, John the Body Johnson, at JJ the Body. That's on Twitter. You can find the podcast at AB Podcast on Twitter as well. I'll actually start posting more stuff on the at AB Podcast through Twitter here in the coming weeks. You can find us on Facebook, the Announcers Booth Podcast. You know, always find us also on YouTube through the ECS Family of Podcasts Network.
Yep, the ECS Network is over on YouTube. You can check out Rage Quit Radio, Kana and Mike's Movie Night, Electric City Sentai Denzi Caster. Those shows, we were blacked out last week because we were getting ready for the 24-hour Game-a-thon. They'll be blacked out again this week because we're recovering from the 24-hour Game-a-thon. But they'll be back the following week, hopefully with everything rolling back on our regular schedule. Then don't forget to check out us on Twitter. It's at ECS Podcasts, plural. You can find stuff from all the different ECS shows there. And check out our merch, because we need new camera, and we need a new computer, and we need new microphones. We need a lot of new stuff. And all of us are working stiffs who really can't afford it. So you can help us out and get some sweet merch in the process. There's shirts and hats and various other merchandise for Rage Quit Radio, the Announcer's Booth, and, of course, Denzi Caster, the Announcer's Booth shirt's on there right now. There's the Announcer's Booth logo shirt, and there is the BDATP 12-3 t-shirt, which is a blatant ripoff of the Austin 316 shirt, but eh.
Okay.
And there'll be others. I'm still trying to work on a design that JJ pitched to me that may wind up there, because rumor is JJ may be announcing his candidacy any day now, and he needs a running mate. So couldn't possibly be worse than the people that are actually running for president.
Yes. And also, don't forget, we want to see Greg Hunter bald, and you can do that by going to GoFundMe.com/MikeAndKanaAdopt. Do I have that right?
Yes, you do.
All right, that's GoFundMe.com/MikeAndKanaAdopt. Give $1, give $5, give $10. Hell, if you want to see this guy bald enough, go ahead and donate the remaining $975. We'll run a GoFundMe for you to recover the money that you gave up for the adoption. We'll do some shit. Who knows? But the haircutting will take place. We will Facebook Live it. We'll videotape it. We'll do whatever we can to see this man bald.
The shaving will be televised.
Yes.
If that money comes up, and I would thank you very much if it does. But if it does, yes, there will be a haircutting. It will be put up in various places online. JJ will probably be there to bear witness, if not, you know, bear the actual trimmers. So, yes.
And also, don't forget to have your pet spayed or neutered.
Pet population.
that's a whole other fucking show. Anyway, we thank you for listening to the Announcer's Booth Podcast. We hope you have a great week. I'm John the Body Johnson.
I'm Greg Hunter.
And we'll see you in 7 days.